So good afternoon, this is Caroline Tapkin for Travel Daily Inspiring Women in Travel Asia interview series. And today we have a lady in travel from Vietnam. So good afternoon to you. And I'm going to butcher your name here. Phuong Duan. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Hello, everyone, and hello, Caroline. Thank you for having me on this series. I'm so grateful to be part of this. My name is Phuong, and I'm based in Hanoi, Vietnam. I work for Discover. I'm in charge of the educational travel at Discover team in Asia and Americas.
So tell us what educational travel does.
So educational travel in a Discover is that we going to arrange the school trip for the international school, for school around the world, for university. And we bring them the real experience on the ground. Instead of learning at the classroom, they go into learning on the ground with the local peoples.
So would it be things like the Duke of Edinburgh Award groups that come and do these trips?
Yes.
Okay, so it's been a quiet 2 years, the last 2 years.
Last 2 years is still like less busy for us. So instead of like traveling offline, like you have to fly to Asia to do the trip, we arrange a lot of virtual program for the student to learn.
And what does that involve from your side, organizing these trips?
So normally the client going to like the university or the school going to have the subject or like the class they want to arrange, and they contact us, they give us the details and the expectations. And from there, we are going to develop suitable program for them. For example, medical student, they want to learn about some special topic about medical. We are going to coordinate with the hospital or university or doctors in destinations like in Asia, and we can provide the program for them. For virtual program, we can like provide via Zoom or team call. And the student can participate in, they can still learn from the doctors on the ground.
Okay, and so you've not sat at home the last 2 years. You've actually been doing things virtually and online and keeping the programs going.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. How did you get into that?
It's quite challenging, you know. None of us have those experience and knowledge about the virtual one, and we have like zero experience about technique and knowledge about technique, and we have to learn ourselves. We run a lot of rehearsals, a lot of we prepare like everything. We have to learn like, okay, for this equipment, and we need this equipment, that equipment, and we have to build up the program. We have to run like rehearsals. I remember one of the cooking sessions, we have to rehearsal for 3 times. We bring to the team to the chef house, and we bring the chef to the office, and we have to like rehearsal at the office, rehearsal at her house, and again at the office. And but the feedback was so good. The client saying that, like on the real source, the client finally saying that they learn a lot and they can make Vietnamese food after the course.
I mean, that's fantastic that you've managed to do that under very difficult circumstances and keep contact with these schools and with these educational facilities. How did you get into travel?
When I graduated, when I more than 15 years ago, I first worked for the hotel at a receptionist. That's a very small hotel in Old Quarter in Hanoi. And I still remember that at that moment, my English was not really good. I was so scary when I I hear the phone ring, the telephone ring, and the client talking to me from their room saying that, like, hey, I need that, I need that. And I said, like, I can't understand that. And I, you know, like, it's like Okuto is very small, and that is like 7-room hotel, and I have to walk up to the 4th floor like quite often in the day when I work, just to check like what do you need, instead of like answering on the phone because I can't understand that. And she talked to my manager that like your staff is really cute, really honest, but they didn't understand what I'm saying. And I was so nervous, you know, like 17 years ago, that's the time like when you graduate, you have a job, that is the really fortunate for yourself, and you have to work hard to learn and keep the job. And and when I came back to my room, I always study, like I always practice English, and after 1 year I was quite fluently speaking and okay, quite confident answering the phone. That's the first off. And after 1 year I left, I worked for the tourist information centers at a travel consultants. At that moment, the internet and all the technology is not really like now, like you can just book thing in a click. No, at that moment is you have to travel with like Lonely Planet book, and everything was like in the hard copy. And that center was to provide the client the information and to have the client to book service on the ground, like hotel or restaurant or massage, and or even like train ticket, bus ticket. And I was there to provide them the information freely. And if they need to book the service, I'm the one who advise them the best service they can have, and have them to book that. So that I was in that role for 1 year, and by working in the front office like that, I speaking English a lot, and I was like more friendly than the time I was at the hotel, because the hotel is 7 rooms, so you can have like maximum 10 pax at the time. Here you can have like 100 or 300 pax coming in every day. And after that position, I was offered, I got a call from Buffalo Tours asking me if I want to take a part in the interview for the sale positions. And you know, like at that moment, Buffalo Tour in my mind, Buffalo Tours and Exotissimo was like a big travel agencies. And I really like happy. And I came I came for the interview. And the first person I met was a receptionist at Buffalo Tour office, the one who called me, and she said like, I have which college I graduate, and I said like I graduate from this and this, and she said like, so that is intermediate degree, and I said yes. And on, you know, like on my profile online was college, because the college itself named college, but actually the degree is intermediate. And she told me like, in this company, we prefer university degrees. And I said, okay, so 100% gonna be fail. Then I came to the interview really confident, you know, that I'm going to fail. I'm not going to pass the interview. And I just talked with them really like confident, and I shared with them about my experience for the last job, 2 jobs. And after that, I did a test for the sale position, which I know nothing about the sales for the tour. And I don't know, maybe I'm just too confident. Maybe my experience was quite good, or maybe they see something in me. And the company offered me another job, not in the sales. So I was so happy. And when I passed, and I was offered as the website contents for the company. So the company built up the website, and I update the information for the website. I gathering the information for the website that is quite relevant to the recent job that I do at the information centers. And after a few months, after 2 months, they finished the project for the website. So they asked me if I want to do at the reservation staff, a discover. So I start dealing with all the GIT, the group series booking. And at that time, I start getting challenged, you know, because series booking is not like small group. It's a group series booking is like 30 pack traveling every weekend, every week. And you have to make the reservation for them at a series. And I know nothing, to be honest, I know nothing about the logistic for the tours. I so lucky to have like my college and the mentors who just support me along the way, so patient with me. They teach me every single thing, like, okay, if Hanoi City Tour, you need those type of service for Hanoi City Tour. You read the program and you have to pick out the service. And I was so young, I learned everything and I take a note, and I'm just every day I learn that, but I'm still dream about the like I'm going to make mistake, like all my dream, like I make mistake already. And after I think half year working in that position, the company opened the volunteer team that like when the first start of the educational team. And because I was running around the office, do a lot of fundraising for the communities. And they asked me like, Phương, you want to go to volunteer team to work? And I said like, oh, why not? Because I can also support the community at the same time. And I can also still do the work. And I came to the volunteer teams. And because of the team is new, we didn't have a lot of experience in the volunteer and education. So we just go with like with what we have and research and improve and learn and improve. And I because I didn't have any, like I start with zero background experience and knowledge in this area. So I feel really challenging, really tough sometimes. I thinking like that the job that I like, because I feel stressed about that every day. Then later on, I talk to myself, I give it a try, and I'm trying my best. If that doesn't work out, I'm going to leave. And every day, like I use a try. And that make me feel like this is the right job for me when I see the proper work, the project complete at the size. I see the happy face of the local people when the project finish, and I see like I can bring a classroom for the kid in remote area. So instead of study in really downgrade classroom, they now have proper beautiful classroom and warm in winter and cool in summer to study. And then that's the way I'm just like start, and I'm just being here for such a long time. Since then, like 14 years already passed, and now I'm stepped to my 15 years in this team, and I still not have any regret that I'm still here with the team.
That's fun. Did you ever imagine when you left college that you would be doing something like this?
No, I came from a countryside, so 100k from Hanoi. And at that moment, like my parents always talk to me like, Phương, you have to study something that you can have a job when you graduate. And I said like, and when I choose to study tourism college, and my parents just said like, tourism, so what does it mean? Like, what are you going to do when you graduate? I said, I don't know. My parents, they both work in the army, you know. So they work for the government, so they don't work outside. So in terms of the business mindset, they don't have that much experience. And I said, like, okay, so study first, and we can think about that later. And I to be honest, I didn't imagine that my life turned in such interesting way like this. I really enjoy that, you know, you have a job that you love and you're passionate to work for that every single day. And I feel really lucky because I work in the tourism, in the travel
field. To get
field.
Where you are today, though, you've had to go through some difficult phases, a lot of learning, a lot of self-doubt, but your persistence and your willingness to learn and to try new things has brought you to where you are.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult often to see what the future will hold, but being open to new opportunities and taking those opportunities, you never know where they'll lead.
Yeah.
So you talked about community projects and community development. Tell me a little bit more about that. What does that entail? What do you do there and who does it benefit?
So for the community project, at Discover, we set up our exclusive community project. So in this community project, we are working with the local communities, the disadvantaged local community in remote area. And we set up the community-based tourism. Like we set up the homestay, the cooking at the meal, train the local how to cook the meal for the client, create an activity for the client when they travel to the village. And also training local guide so that they can guiding our client when they are there. And that is one of the area for the community's project. The other area that we set up the project. So the project here, we focus on three areas. That is education, economic and environment. So the project could be like infrastructures project, the building project. We build like dormitory for school, for the student to stay overnight at the school. We could build the dormitory for the teacher. Because a lot of teacher, a lot of school, they cannot open because they don't have the class, the dormitory for teacher to stay. And the teacher cannot travel like 30, 40K per day, you know, to the school. And we also build the road, the agriculture infrastructure system, the recent project this year, we are doing and almost complete, is like the water filters for people in Chiang Mai, in Omgoi, Chiang Mai, Thailand. So, and also we work with the school. We build toilet classroom. We also have the cow fund. So you give the cow for the disadvantaged family in the village. And one of the projects I'm really proud. Very, very small project, but very, very benefits for the kid. That is the Happy Library project. So we open small library. Have you heard about Room to Read?
Yes.
Organization. Yeah, I was so inspired by John from Room to Read. And we opened the small library like that in the village. Our library is very small, so we just like open a reading area, a book corner for the kid at the village, because in northern Vietnam, the only bookstore they are having in northern Vietnam in that district was like 30, 40K from their communities. Like you can imagine, like in a big district only have one bookstore. And with the income of like $60 per person per month, you cannot afford to buy the book for the children. And opening at the school, they also have the library. However, they can only give to the student during the break time for 10, 15 minutes. And our idea is like to let the students read wherever they want. Could be at home, could be at the farm when they're helping their parent to take care of the farm or the buffalo or the cow. Could be at their playing ground. And we start with a very small project like that. We fundraising ourselves. We open the small one with about $800 US or $1,000 US. about 1,000 books, and we start since 2016. We opened the first one, and now we have 10 library in that area, and we really want to make more library in not only Vietnam but also other village around community we are working with in Asia.
So what started off as sort of building a tourism product for your guests coming in has now turned into community projects to help local people, not only to benefit tourism but to benefit the communities.
Actually, like for the school group, for international school group, they do have the CAS program. So they have to do service learning to support communities. They have to travel to the country, to the destinations, to live with the local people, and to learn about the life of the local. And they participate on the service learning, so they have to do like build a toilet or build a classroom during the time they are staying there. And you can imagine, like for the student from wealthy family, like none of them have been doing that. But then I'm just so glad that like a lot of students came to me, and like when I was the facilitator in the program, they came and talked to me that like, hey Phuong, I couldn't imagine the life of the local people here is like that, because they have like no Wi-Fi, they have no hot waters. So we keep everything as authentic as it is. So if that is I'm going to use your house at a homestay, I just prepare like cleaning, really clean bed for you with the mosquito net so that you can come and stay. But if that is a squat toilet, the family have squat toilet, it's gonna be like clean squat toilet. You have to experience. And sometimes I have like students from university, you know, they all like growing up, they adults, and they share experience with each other during breakfast time that like, I already tried the squat toilet, first time in my life. Yeah, so we, and no hot water. So I hear the students screaming in winter days when they have to go and get cold waters. And that's what we want them to experience and learn, and to see that how lucky they are when they have the good life. So and also they are working hard together with the local people at the project. For the project, where is the money from? Like talking about the money. So where the money from the project? So the money comes from the student. They have to do fundraising for the project. And if they want to build a road for the local people, they go into fundraising for the road. We're going to send them the details, project informations for them with like information and photos. And if they want to get more information, we can always provide, and they can do fundraising for that. And we also send them a report when the project finished. The project sometimes is really big, like we just finished the dormitory in Laos. It's like 45,000 US, and you cannot do 45,000 US with few group. You're gonna be take like years, maybe like 2 or 3 years, for, because most of our fund relies on our client. We are not NGO, you know. So we break it into many steps, many small steps, and each of the group come and they finish one, maybe like 10 group finish the foundations, 5 group finish the wall, and the roof could be like another 5 group. And with the completed building, maybe another 2 or 3 group. And we send a detailed report to them after that.
So it's benefiting all sides. It's benefiting the students from overseas who are learning how some people live in Asia, but yeah, they're bringing their work, money, expertise, and helping build communities with what they really need.
Yeah. So that is about the project and about the community-based tourism, talking about the homestay and all the activity. So we actually, like, we spend our money, the company spend our money to set up for the local people, together with the local people. And we also spend a lot of time training them. Like, you travel to a remote area and you talk, you working with them, they have, they didn't know anything about, like, welcoming guests, or like working with the foreigner. So we training them, like, here is the way you set up the homestay, here is the way you cook for the client, here the maybe like some of the menu that could be like local food, but the foreigner can eat. And here is activity, and even like basket weaving is so easy for the local people. But when it become the learning sessions, here the way how you teach them, you have to, like, very simple thing, like, you have to prepare enough material for the basket weaving, because at the middle of the evening, you cannot find that anywhere, and it's going to be fail. You know, like, it's so funny, like, we did have some trouble at the beginning, that local people came to the basket weaving, going to teach about 5 students each group, but they didn't bring enough material. So, like, the student just sitting there, or maybe like two of them can do weaving, the rest are like looking. And we have to talk to them again. The food is too cold because winter day, and they cook dinner happened at 6 p.m., but they cook from 2 p.m. So find out, man, how to keep the food warm. You need time to talk to them about that. Yeah, so
learning experience for all sides.
Yeah, and we share the benefit for that side. Like, we're not going to come up with the price we want to pay them. We do benchmarking among the market to pay them, like, accurate and fair number for each of the service they provide. And that, like, very transparent among the communities. And if you work with a community, the village of 60 families, maybe only 20 families can get profit from the program. So how about the rest? So we came up with a village fund. We pay village fund $2 per person per day for any of our participants go to the village. And the village fund going to handle to the village by end of the year. And they can use for whatever they want for the communities. They have to have a meeting, and they're going to let us know, like, okay, I'm going to do this for this, this for this. Yeah, and for the community project, we now have in 4 countries. Vietnam, we have 4 project size, 2 in northern, 2 in southern. Thailand, we have 1 in Chiang Mai. And Laos, we have 1 in Luang Prabang, near Luang Prabang. And we have 1 in Cambodia.
Amazing. How was it as a young woman going to these remote communities and working with the elders of the village? And how was that experience?
I think that is quite fun for me. I was so quite young when I first started, you know. Then they always, some of them came to me asking me, like, I'm the student. Am I a student? Because I look so young with the backpack. And I said, like, no, I'm a full-time staff for the company. And they, like, I got the question, like, so you are the woman, how can you go to do this job? Because you have traveled like such to the remote area. You have made some of the village you have to trek to, like, the car cannot go in, and you have to walk to the village. And like, with the living condition is also quite basic. And I said, I just do that. I didn't think that because I'm a woman and I can't do that. But being the woman and working with the people in the remote is especially like working with the men and the leader quite difficult sometimes. So you have to find a way talking with them, and you still have to show your respect to them, especially their cultures. And you have to, the most important thing, you have to show them, like, I'm doing the good work for the communities. And you have to be really transparent. You have to be transparent about the benefit you are having for the company, the benefit you're having for the client, and the benefit you can bring to the communities. And Especially with like the money sharing among the communities. So some of the communities at first, they quite hesitant, but after we work with them for a few months or few projects, they see the actual benefit they can get. And right now we are quite popular in Vietnam with the community where we are working, and the community nearby, they came and talked to our team member. Like, hey, why don't you just like try and do inspection in our communities? We also very good. And I think the result of the work, so the gain trust from the local people. And after like few group like that have popular face in the community where I work, you know. And they love me, and they came to me, talk to me easily, because I'm from Hanoi. So if I travel to Northern Vietnam, that means like people still thinking like, oh, that girl from the city. And I'm just like an ethnic people in remote area. Yeah. And I think we have like good challenge, but I think not too difficult for me.
That's fun. And how are you balancing that with your young family?
So actually, my husband is a tour leader, and you know, like we both working in the tourism, so he understands my job well. So sometimes when before we have baby, I just told him that I'm going to travel for 3 weeks. I'm going to travel with the group to Thailand for 3 weeks or to Laos for 2 weeks, because I usually travel across the country to support the country. And he have no problem with that. I said, go. I said, get my passport and stuff and go. And that recently I have baby, and since I have baby, is like I having baby right in the COVID time. I don't know, but it's easier. So we don't have to travel much. All the call and meeting is online. And that is easier for me. But still, you know, like when you are working in the travel area, you really love to go. So I'm just thinking about like by middle of this year or maybe by end of this year, if the tourism bounce back, if I'm traveling, how can I bring the kid with me on the trip? Maybe my mom can come and support. Yeah.
Finding backup plans to make things work.
Yeah.
Who has inspired you along the way? Who do you look up to?
I think like the first people who came to my mind for this question was the local people in the communities. So sometimes the work could be quite hard for you, but then by end of the day, you see the local people, they smile. I mean, I'm thinking of like when I visit them and they show me like, hey, Phuong, here the project is complete, and how benefit for their farm, how it benefit for their daily life. And sometimes I came to Thailand, like I met the persons at like we can't speak our language. She can't speak English, I can't speak Thai, and she can't speak Vietnamese as well. But we talk to each other for like hours. So we're using a phone, using Google Translate, and people like know me. Whenever I came back, they know exactly what type of food I love, what I did, like what custom I like, and they bring like beautiful dress for me to dress up in our ceremony night. And I think like the harder work I do, the better benefit we can bring to the communities. And that is about the communities, really inspiring me. Whenever I feel tough, I just thinking about like, okay, this story, this about this woman, they talk to me what, and I can have another beautiful project if I'm try harder. And also in the company, we do have a lot of college, they are support me like the family. So the cultural discovery is quite, it's really like lovely, you know. It's like a family, not like the not like the college.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you make mistake, no one criticize you. They just like, okay, here's the problem. How to fix that? Try to avoid next time. How to avoid? What lesson learned? Yeah, so I'm just like, and when they gave me the job, they charged me. And I can just like freely doing whatever I want to do. If I like this project and I think this project is good, I'm going to discuss with the team and we find a way to make it work. Sometimes the project itself is really big, but then you can think like, okay, everything needs to start with the little step. And we just go with like small steps, small steps, small steps. And by end of the year, you looking back, it's already like a good project and it already complete a lot. And you learn from like small step by small step. You're not going to make a big change in a jump, you know. You're not going to jump one jump and you can complete the project.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Corporate culture is so important, isn't it?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to young girls and young men coming up and contemplating a career in tourism? What advice would you give to them about planning their future and what they need to do?
I think if looking back when I was young, I have, to be honest, I was not educate or get the training as good as they are having right now. But then if I can give them some advice, it could be like, do whenever you do things, you do it at your best. And don't worry to take a challenge. That have the positive attitude to fight with the challenge and never give up.
Attitude is so much more important than grades sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Like for me, I just like intermediate degree, and I'm learning every day. And now I'm so happy that I have quite good experience in this area.
Great. What's in your future? What do you see in the next 5 to 10 years?
In my future, in next 5-10 years, I think I still love to keep working with Discover, and I want to open more projects. I want to open more community projects, working more with our partner all around the world to bring up the meaningful program, meaningful learning journey for our student, and also to create like meaningful project for the communities. Bring more benefit to the communities.
If you could have one project that you would like to achieve in the next 5 years, what would that be?
I really want to do something for the woman. Since I have two babies, I realize that it's so hard for the woman around the world. I understand that before, but then when you just like have a baby, you take care of the baby, you go to work and you have pregnant, you have like really big belly, and after you have the baby came out and you have to spend like a lot of sleepless night taking care of the baby, and I really want to do some kind of project for the woman. Could be like some educational program, educational area for the young woman. Could be like the student, or maybe like if the woman who have who already like the adults, they struggle on the economic, could be like some kind of training or some kind of support so that they can live and they can live their life independently.
So I still have families.
Yeah, and still have family. So that is what I am thinking right now. And I talked with the company, and we want to do the work with UN for the woman empowerment area. So I don't know like how far we can go, but that is in my mind, that supporting the woman, empower them.
Well, to me, it sounds as though if you make a decision to go for something, you will get there.
Yeah, I hope we're going to get there.
And on that note, we will say thank you very much for your very interesting story there, and wish you all the success with your hopes and dreams for the coming years. And we'll be watching to see what happens.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me in this series.